Are we having fun this evening? Well, you're all welcome this evening, and of course, in my case, it gives me a great pleasure and it's an honour to be here this evening and to present the evening to you. And it's really in celebration of 20 years of Irish Week here at Augusta, so I think that in itself deserves a big round of applause. I will have some announcements to make as we go along throughout the evening. And my first official announcement is, I hope you're all listening to this one, please do not tape these concerts. We also ask that no photos be taken as they are distracting to the artists and other audience members. We appreciate your cooperation. And if anybody has to leave the hall, please wait till the performers have finished before you leave. And of course, wait until there's some kind of a pause or a little break in between before you enter again. This is my, I don't know how many, fourth year to present this concert to you, and I'm delighted to be here to do that. Of course, I'm a bundle of nerves. I think last year I asked the audience to give me a round of applause. I have no whiskey or brandy to steady the nerves, so I depend on you to help me along with that. But anyway, I'd like to introduce the first group of musicians to you this evening. The first artist on Hammer Dulcimer is Karen Ashbrook, who is based out of the Washington, D.C. area. She's been playing since 1976. She's been a teacher at Augusta since 1988. She's a full-time musician. She tells me during the break, or just when we were speaking there, we're having a break before the concert started, that this is the first year that a musician has come from Ireland to study here at Irish Week. And of course, it's a Hammer Dulcimer player, so we're delighted about that. She has several CDs on Maggie's Music label, and she's joined this evening by her husband, Paul Ertz, who comes originally from Belgium. He's playing guitar this evening, and they perform together as a duo. They play continental and Irish music, and they have a duo CD called Celtic Cafe, which is on sale outside in the lobby area during the break this evening. And they are joined by a great piper from Baltimore, Elliot Grasso. And Elliot has been coming here to Elkin since 1996. He told me that there was a CD put out by the Pipers Club in Dublin, actually called the Peabody Illan, and Elliot, of course, was the only American-born musician to perform on that CD. I think it was a CD of under 18-year-old pipers, and we're delighted that he was able to do that. He's also on John Whelan's latest CD called Celtic Fire. So please give a great welcome to Karen Ashbrook, Paul Ertz, and Elliot Grasso. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We started with a Breton Andro and went into Stair Munster, a good old standard. And now we're going to move towards some tunes, the cafe section of the program here, from Paul's country. Jigs are found not only in Ireland, but in many countries in Europe. And in the south part of France, in the area they call Wallonia, is where these jigs are from. The one of them is an 18th century contradance from a dancing master in Ghent. So we thought we'd add some Irish pipes to them. Pipes used to be very popular in Belgium. They died out in the mid-18th century, totally. But there's this huge revival going on now, and they're being built based on Bruegel paintings, actually. But anyway, we're going to invite our friend Elliot Grasso from Baltimore out. Let's give him a big hand. And somewhere at the end of this set for the continued Celtic segment of it, we're going to bring out a Scottish Highland dancer from Roanoke, Virginia, Ann Sampson. Thank you all. There it is. This is for my class. Thank you.
we have a change over here. It's going to take a few minutes. And I have a couple more announcements to make. I want to tell you that the Augusta store is open in the lobby during the intermission and immediately following the concert. You can hear me out there, I hope. And you do understand me. Good, okay. That's the more important question than anything else. This is a great opportunity to pick up your recordings by the artists on tonight's concert and also the many other fine artists here at Augusta. Don't forget that Christmas is coming and you need all those gifts, you know. And so the procrastinators in the audience, now is the time to change. Myself included. There will be a special 20th anniversary Irish Week double CD set available in February of 2002. And I'm told that you can order this set in advance for $25, including shipping. That's right. For only $25, advanced orders only. I'm like your man. I was telling the class, my class today, about the fella that sells that roaster on the TV. Did you ever see him? You know when he puts it in the machine and he turns to the audience and he says, set it and forget it. So, I'm not sure why I said that, but anyway, this card reminded me of that particular thought. But the CD will be, in fact, a compilation of performances since 1981. How are we doing here? We're still working away. What's that? Yes, two CDs, not one CD. Double meaning two. Brilliant, that man there, brilliant. Anyway, the next group, we have great, great musicians for you next. We have the first artist on fiddle, Brendan Callahan, who has been coming to Augusta for 9 years, and he's been a teacher here for four. He's a great composer. If anybody was at the lunchtime concerts today, you would have heard him playing some of his compositions. And I have sat in different rooms over the years with this man, with other people, and I've listened to his our compositions, and they're wonderful. He mentioned that he didn't have his CDs with him, but he does have a list out in the lobby and a folder out there if anybody's interested. Brendan is based out of Philadelphia, and he's a wonderful musician. Next, we have Aaron Allwell on flute. Aaron, although he's playing flute this evening, he in fact is also a left-handed fiddler, which is very, very unusual to see. His father is the famous Patrick Allwell, one of the world's greatest flute makers, and Mick Maloney mentioned the other night that Patrick's flutes are in such high demand that there's years and years and years and years waiting list to get his flutes. So he's a great maker. I've actually seen some of his flutes myself. Aaron is also on that CD I mentioned earlier, the John Whelan CD. In fact, I should tell John Whelan to send me a check for all the plugs I'm going to give him this evening. He owes me. Next, we have Matt Mulqueen on piano from Baltimore. Matt told me that he studied with Donna Long, who's also here this week at Irish Week, and I've played with him myself. He's a wonderful, wonderful player. A great fiddler from Baltimore, Jim Egan, who studied with Brendan Mulvehill. He's been coming to Irish Week at Augusta for about 7 or 8 years, and they're going to be joined on pipes by Elliot Grasso. But I'm trying to do this. I was trying to figure out also, how can I stand and look into the audience without looking at my pieces of paper? Very difficult to do. So I'm just going to do it anyway. Now, you know that expression, well, I don't need to be a rocket scientist to change the light bulb. But in actual fact, they're going to be joined by a great dancer this evening, Jordan Dudney, who is in fact studying to be a rocket scientist of all things. So we're going to change that expression from now on. Instead of saying, I don't need to be a rocket scientist to change the bulb, what you can say instead is, I don't need to be a Jordan Dudney to change the light bulb. And they're going to be joined on the Bowron by one of Irish music's greatest players, Mark Stone, who is based out of Texas, San Antonio, I hope it is, Mark, San Antonio in Texas. And Mark is not only a great drummer, but now he's also my ghostwriter. And he helped me do some writing and stuff last night, and I appreciate that very much. So I want you to put your hands together, please, and give a wonderful, wonderful round of applause to Brendan Callahan, Aaron Alwell, Matt Mulqueen, Jim Egan, Elliot Grasso, Jordan Dudney, and Mark Stone. Thanks very much.
Hello. How are you? So how are you guys? Did you like that? This is a little different than usual. We can see everyone in the audience from the stage, whereas usually the crowd's dark. So, hi everyone. How many people have been coming for 10 years to Augusta? I've been coming for 9. So how many people have been coming for 9? Wow, how many people is this their first year? Wow. All right, well, for all you new people, a little concert etiquette, all right? Like this section over here, I want you guys to work on the yelps, like this. Woo! There you go, all right. Now this section over here, I want you guys to work on the random shouts of encouragement, like, good man! Go ahead, try it. All right, and you guys are in charge of the clapping at the very end of the set, all right? So at the very end of the set, when the dancers come out, what you gotta do is you gotta start clapping in time. Excellent. All right, so does everybody have their jobs? All right, good. Excellent. All right, you can all pick up your paycheck on the way out. All right, so that goes for the rest of the concert now. You guys are the yelpers, you guys are the random shouts of encouragement, and you guys are the clappers. Now, you're all welcome to do the other things too, but make sure you get your job right. All right? Excellent. All right, we're gonna finish up here with a set of reels. One thing I'm supposed to say is that a bunch of us guys, well, not myself, but a bunch of the other guys are on a John Whalen CD that's out there. I know you've heard about it twice now, I think, but it's for third time, just so you know. And also, I've got a clipboard that's out with the rest of the CDs. It's a pre-order form for my CD. It's not out yet, it was supposed to be, but it's not. So if you could write your name and whatever kind of contact information, I promise I won't give it to any credit card companies or anything like that, but I'll just mail you a little something about where you can send a nice $15 check and you'll get a free CD in the mail. How's that sound? All right, it was nice to see you all. I don't get to usually have this opportunity, but I'll see you next year. Oh, this is Sean. Sean McComiskey. Let's have a big round for him. Give him a couple yelps. Woo! There you go. Thank you. You know everybody else on the stage? All right. I hope you do. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Wasn't that great? I want to tell you that we've had a silent auction here all week long at Irish Week, and the bidding for the auction is going to end at the end of intermission, so there's some wonderful things which were donated by the participants at Irish Week, and we want you to go out and take a look at them during the intermission period. The proceeds will support the Augusta programs. The next two artists are two wonderful, wonderful musicians. The first person I'm going to introduce comes from Dublin, and he is a retired architect, in fact. He was a teacher at Bolton Street Technical School, which is just a street that borders the street that I grew up in Dublin called Capel Street. He's probably the greatest song collector in the Irish tradition ever. And he's been coming to Augusta for more than 15 years. He recently released a double CD with the great Donal Lunny of Napoleonic songs, and Mick Maloney told us the other night that it's been met with rave reviews, nothing negative said about this CD at all, which is amazing. It's a wonderful recording. And I'm talking about, of course, Mr. Frank Hart from Dublin. And he's joined by singer-songwriter Robbie O'Connell from Carrick-on-Shore in County Tipperary. And Robbie is a nephew of the Clancy brothers. He performed with them many times down through the years, different festivals and concerts. He has performed at Mick Maloney many, many times. I don't know who they played with, in fact. I don't know whether it was Jimmy Keane or I just can't remember who else it was. But anyway, Robbie is also on the staff here at Augusta. He's been here many, many times, and he teaches a course. How are we doing over here? Do you want to hear a joke? I don't know whether you're going to get this one or not, in fact. It's just a very quick one. Well, actually, maybe I shouldn't tell you that one, come to think of it. It could be dangerous. Dangerous, it might insult somebody. Yes? What's that? The what? Who was that? I'll tell one quick one. I think we have time for a fast one. My class, I was telling the class, I think it was yesterday, there was a couple that went to their marriage counselor. They were having marital problems. And anyway, he listened to their problem and he said, okay, he said, I think I have the solution for you. And he wrote out a prescription. He gave it to these people. And when they read the prescription, it said, buy a waterbed. So he looked at this and he said, waterbed, okay. He said to your man, a waterbed, are you sure? He said, yeah. He says, I want you to try for 3 months and come back and let me know how you get on. So anyway, 3 months pass, and the male of the couple walked in the counselor's office, and of course, his wife is not with him. And the counselor said to him, he said, look, you know, how did you get on? He said, well, not very, very good. He said, I'm afraid we're no longer living together, you know. And the counselor said, well, what happened? And he said to him, he said, well, look, it's very hard to explain, but, you know, we just drifted apart. That gotcha. So please, great round of applause for Mr. Frank Hart and Mr. Robbie O'Connell. Thank you.
Robbie and I kind of drift together, and it's usually here at Elkins. And it's always a pleasure to meet up with him and Maloney and the rest and go over the old times and learn a few more songs. As James said, I brought out a record this year on songs dealing with Napoleon Bonaparte. Ever since I heard the first song about Napoleon, I was kind of grabbed me. Most of them are big songs. But we'll sing one off it. And it's simply Napoleon in exile on the Isle of St. Helena. And he reflects on the past glories and so forth. And we have this one in the key of
Hopefully.
The key of C. Now, we were out in the car park the other day, and Robbie actually put the key into his watch. So that when he presses a button, a signal is sent from here to the moon and bounces back again to tell me that it's in the key of C.
And after all that, it doesn't really help very much.
We'll change it anyway. Where there's naught can delight him, he may sit there and dwell on the glories he has seen, all while forlorn he will mourn on the Isle of Saint Helena. No more in Saint Cloud will he appear, like the great Alexander. He may look to the east from the great Mount Diana, but his eyes are on the waves that surround St. Helena. Louisa, she weeps for her heart departed, and she dreams as she sleeps and awakes broken hearted. Not a friend to console her, in the past there were so many, now alone she does mourn when she thinks on Saint Helena. All you that have great wealth, then beware of ambition, for it's some twist of fate can soon change your condition. And be steadfast in time, what's to come change you cannot. Maybe your race will end on the Isle of St. Helena. Now you parliaments of England and you holy alliance, on a prisoner of war you can now hurl defiance. For all your base intrigue, you never could demean him, and you exiled him to die on the Isle of St. Helena. Now Boney's away from his warren and fighting, he has gone to a place where there's naught can delight him. He may sit there and dwell on the glories he has seen, oh, and forlorn he will mourn on the Isle of St. Helena. It's always nice to get over the initial surprise of hitting the key, you know. That's why it's a delight to have Robbie here beside me. The, There was a time when I used to ask Maloney, but he made such a compliment about coming out that I couldn't be bothered asking him anymore, to be quite honest. Like, of course, I pay Robbie a lot more money than I did Maloney. But you pay for what you get, the quality, you understand? Are you there, Mick? Wait now. Yeah. At the moment, over the last 20 years, it's a terrible thing to be saying over the last 20 years, but you've heard Mick and me talk about the situation in the north of Ireland and ask for America your help in resolving the situation. And as I'm speaking to you, the whole thing could collapse. And we haven't got George Mitchell there anymore. And we haven't got Bill Clinton. So it's up in the air, and hopefully we will learn to live together. The segregation is so complete in the north of Ireland that you can tell a person's religion and political affiliations by their name alone. If their name is William, you know what his affiliation is. If his name is Mick, you know what his affiliation is. If her name is Iris, you know what her affiliation is. If her name is Bridget, you know what her affiliation is. It's that clear cut. And so that love between the individuals across the sectarian divide is very, very difficult, because both communities will balk at the whole idea of it. Mickey McConnell wrote a song called The Lambeg Drummer. And the Lambeg Drummer is the big drum that they beat on the Orange marches. And he tells the story of a Catholic boy and a Protestant girl meeting outside of the situation in the north of Ireland and going around Europe, falling in love and making love and coming back to Belfast. And he goes that way and she goes that way, because love can't exist in the sectarian divide. The Ulster poet John Hewitt called it my godforsaken creed-ridden country, you know. This is a song called The Lambeg Drummer in
F.
E.
F.
F. F. That was close. That was close. I met her on a far Greek isle, her accent's Irish, a glance, a smile. Girl I could not love at home, I loved in Greece and later Rome. All through France and the dust of Spain, Christ, I'll never love like that again. All through that long, hot, pagan summer, now she's the wife of a lambeg drummer. She touched my cheek in Brittany. It's a shame you're Mick, not Sam, says she. Or Cecil, Stuart, Ian, Rob, or Ivan, Billy, Jack, or Bob. You're locked inside some Fenian dream. You long for things that might have been, but let's not waste what's left of summer before I wed my lambeg drummer. Sometimes I'd watch her while she'd sleep, from firelight soft to shadows deep. I wonder why it's like Cupid's dart must miss the head and wound the heart. I knew it all too soon would end, two hearts not lost, just out on lend. One day I'd reclaim mine from her and set hers free for her lambeg drummer. And we wandered a deserted beach, though I held her hand, she was out of reach. And side by side, though both alone, we talked about the news from home. And I knew 'twas time to tell her so. Then I knew 'twas time for letting go of this sweet and most beloved foe. For our ears were tuned to tribal thunder that brought her home to her lambeg drummer. In the drab Dutch town we said goodbye. I had to hitch, she chose to fly. 'Twas only as she turned to go, I told her what she had to know. If she'd been Mary Breach or Kate, we'd have walked together through the airport gate, and I'd never more be parted from her. By time or tide or a lambeg drummer. And I watched the Orange 12th parade. I was half impressed and half dismayed. There I saw the girl I loved, all hatted, sashed, bemedaled, gloved, more lovely than she'd ever been. When she was orange and I was green, and our love that blazed that Spanish summer, she squandered now on the lambeg drummer. But if she'd been Mary Breach or Kate, we'd have walked together through the airport gate, and I'd never more be parted from her. By time or tide, or a lambeg drummer.
Thanks very much. Thank you very much. Thanks very much. I know it really. It's a song of our time, unfortunately, and in Belfast, it's our Romeo and Juliet. You know, except it's two religions rather than two families, and hopefully, we're heading for peace and living together and so forth. Now we come to the worst part. Maloney has been pestering us again to come out. So I said no. Robbie insisted. And
thank you.